Pastor Mike McCoy, welcoming you to the time of truth. I'm back in 2 Timothy 3 tonight. You know, Brother Randy said, you know what verse I started to read this morning? And he was going to read this verse I used for a text. I said, that would have been great. But he read something. That would have been good. It was on, the Lord was in it. I wish somebody had moved. But you know what? When you share the word with somebody, your responsibility is over. Then it's the responsibility of the Holy Ghost. He'll woo or he won't. He'll draw or he won't. It'll find good soil and he'll pierce the heart or he won't. But we are, Brother Freddie Melton say, seed sowers and water boys. That's us. So I'm going to try to sow a seed or two tonight. Let me pray before we get started. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Father, I love you. Thank you for this night and this good crowd and these that have come out to be in the house of the Lord. What a blessing it is to be here. I pray you bless this word tonight, God. We've studied, preached it many times. God, I pray you'd use us tonight, bring to our mind what we meditated upon. I pray you'd fill my mouth, guard my tongue. Use me for the glory of Jehovah. God, we pray that if maybe there'd be a lost one here tonight, it'd be a good night to see someone saved. I praise you for all you do. Thank you for the good songs tonight, Lord. The songs of Zion, singing about the goodness of God. So bless it for your glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And amen. So here we go. Keep this in mind tonight, that as Paul's instructing Timothy, this is just about 4 or 5 years prior to Titus rolling in and destroying Jerusalem. It's within that time frame. Some say a little more, some maybe a little less. But it's within that time frame. Now, where's Paul at during this time right here? Prison. Paul's writing from prison. This is Paul's last letter. For a man to have been in prison when he's writing this, he's pretty bold about it, isn't he? I mean, here he is. He is confined by man, but he says he's free. He said, hey, I may be changed up, but I'm not bound by this. He knew his destination when he left this world, and he's trying to instruct young Timothy. Now, I'm thinking us folk in here with frosty roofs tonight should be taking this, and that my aim tonight with this is toward the younger congregation, though it's for all, but understanding that this was to a young guy who was about to, Paul knew right here that his days was numbered. There was no doubt about that. Now, he also knew what Timothy was going to be facing in the near future. So he's trying to encourage him by this letter for Timothy to make him aware of what he's going to be facing. Now, I'm not trying to scare our young people, because I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. So we know that we can do all these things, but it's through Christ. We have no ability on our own. Not if it's going to accomplish spiritual things. Now, people can be polished in music and sing in perfect pitch, and it's enjoyable to the ear, but it really won't accomplish the spiritual thing. Now, the thing with preaching is it has to be seasoned with the Holy Ghost, the Word of God, and given out, and the Spirit of God takes that Word and finds the target. So he's encouraging young Timothy here, and here's what he says, this know also, that in the last days, perilous times, dangerous times, difficult times, hard times, there's going to be times that, now, and I want us to consider this. If this is 4 years out from Jerusalem being wiped out, I mean, temple destroyed, people dispersed, carried away to captivity. Now, I know his mother and his grandmother's Jewesses, Jewish women, but his daddy's a Greek. So he would have been considered a half-breed by the Jews that's getting destroyed down there. But still, his heart's there. He knows where it comes from. And he's just 4 years out. And if in 4 years from now, what are they going to think those perilous times are? I mean, he's going, wouldn't you think? Don't young Timothy think, well, hey, this is it. Because he's going to be alive in 4 years. Paul's going to be dead. So here he is contemplating. Don't you know he looked around like us today? Don't we look around and see things that's going on and think, my word, this is a nightmare. Amen. I'm glad we live in the Bible Belt. And 2/3 of our people are naive to how it is. And I may have shared this here before, but did you see that girl on the beach down at Clearwater, Florida, asking people why we celebrate Easter, and nobody could answer it? They couldn't answer it. She asked, I'm at least a half dozen people or more, and they were clueless as to why they're celebrating Easter. Perilous times, dangerous times. People are ignorant to the Word of God. This book right here is a mystery to them. Perilous times shall come. Shall. Now I want you to listen to this. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. You want to know how you have joy? You've heard this. This is old as Methuselah. Jesus, others, and yourself. That's how you have joy. When you invert that any other way, you try to put him at the end, it don't spell joy. And you got to have others in the middle there. And when it's that way, he teaches us to be servants at heart. We're stewards of him. Men shall be lovers of their own selves. It's a dog-eat-dog world out there. They don't care anything about you. We'd be foolish to think a politician cared whether you breathe air or not, as long as you send a contribution. For the most part. Now there's a few I've got some confidence in, but very few. They love their own selves. They're covetous. What's the last commandment? Thou shalt not covet. One guy told me, said, you can't show me where the Bible said you shouldn't gamble. I like to gamble a little bit. I said, it's 10th commandment, thou shalt not covet. What are you going to do with that? What does that mean? I said, that means you shouldn't gamble. That's what that means. Boasters, proud, number one thing God hates, pride, number one. Blasphemers, that's not just against the Lord. That's anything, against anything that's holy or righteous. Talking negative. Disobedient to parents. I'm going to stop right there for just a second, kids. Listen. Honor thy father and thy mother, and he'll make you days long upon the earth. That never stops. There's not a line in the sand. Okay, I'm married on my own. I own my own home. I'm doing my own thing. The honor continues on as long as they're upon this earth. The father and the mother, and your days are long upon the earth. Now, some, you'll say this, some don't deserve honor. Well, in one respect, they deserve honor simply because they're your parent. It's like the office of president. The office of president. I don't think you ought to slang your names around. I don't, and there's a bunch of them I never have liked, but still, and look here, but it's that office that we owe respect to. That right there is bought with blood. And that blood says we have a commander in chief. We don't matter how foolish they are or how much we disagree with them, it is that office itself that is due honor. Same way with parents. It is that position as the mom or the dad, the parent, that honor belongs to. Now, I know in this sick society in which we live, children are abused and used and mistreated, and a lot of grandparents are raising the children instead of the parents, and if that's the case, you give them honor. But here's what I see. disobedient to parents is a common thing. Brother Jason makes this boast often. I know it said we shouldn't be boasters, but he's not in himself. He's boasting in someone else, like Paul boasted in Christ. But he boasts of our young people because when they take them out somewhere and they do something with them, he says, what a great group we have. He's not having to chase them off the end of the world. Don't have to worry about setting a building on fire. Good group of kids. But there's a multitude out there, and I'm telling you, that's the ones that want you to follow them that are disobedient to parents. Dusty come in. Dusty would wake us up every night when he got home. I said, son, just go to bed. Don't wake me up. I just want you to know I'm home. I sleep like a rock, but once I'm awake, it's hard for me to get back to the rock place. So he comes in one night, and he flips on the light, coming boasting, you're going to have to give me a curfew. I'm going to do what? I need to know when you want me to be home. Just don't stay out all night. Okay, here it is, 11 o'clock. Good. 11 o'clock. Forever. 11 o'clock. He's pretty much honors that to this day. I'm telling you, by 11 o'clock, that boy's in the bed. It's not disobedient to parents. It's a sad world out there, how some kids treat their parents. If they needed my mama for their mama for 5 minutes, because she'd have picked up a board and knocked their block off. You ain't talking to me like that. Unholy, unthankful. Let me get that, ingrates. A society that thinks that they're owed something. Entitlement society. In the last days. Is this familiar ground? Have anybody seen any of this stuff? Unthankful, unholy. Without natural affection. Oh, here we are. Now this is in two areas right here. And we see it applied today because of the, I don't care, LBJQRSTUV and every other letter in the alphabet, they'll come up with the rest of them before it's over. But that's not natural affection. It's unnatural. Without natural affection. We also have that in the lives. I'm going to throw off on my own family. How many of you have been to a family reunion pre-COVID? That messed everything up. How many people have been to a family reunion prior to COVID in 3 years? Hold your hand up. I want to see. Now, look how many haven't. Was the Stevens thing 3 years ago at church? Christmas dinner, though, wasn't it? And not 10% showed up. That used to be highlights in the lives of the people, was to get together with the family. I'm telling you, when the family unit's dissolved, your nation's gone. It's in bad shape. As goes the home. So goes the nation. Truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent. That means without restraint, that incontinent there in any area, no restraint. Fierce and despisers of those that are good. You don't have to be. All you got to do is do right. And they won't like you. If you're at work on the line prior to the, you've clocked in, you go straight out and you start work and you're doing your job and somebody's hid off in the corner trying to wait till the very last minute, you know what? They'll be mad at you because you're doing a good job. they'll be upset. Because you're just doing right, doing good. Is anybody with me? Traitors, heady, that means lifted up in their self, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Example, don't matter how bad the football team is, they'll pay $30 or $40 to go sit on concrete and cheer for a bunch of people they know is going to lose. And that's their pleasure. Choose recreations over the Lord. And I'm not saying we can't have a good time. I'm saying that is the priority in the life in these last days. The example is this. There's a pretty good crowd here for a Sunday night, but there's a lot of room. And here it is in a nutshell of these. Listen, having a form of godliness but denying, that means rejecting the power thereof. And this is strong. This is strong. From such, turn away. You know what he's saying? Don't have nothing to do with this crowd I just talked about. Man, you know what that'll do? That'll separate you from some of your family. I mean, it'll separate you from your family. That's what he said. You know, Jesus said he'd divide between the father and the son, the mother and the daughter-in-law, and there'd be a division between them. Well, here it is. Why would Paul tell Timothy not to have anything to do with this bunch? Because he don't want it to rub off on him. That's exactly right. Yeah, look here, it matters who your kids hang with. You run with dogs, you'll get fleas. What was it? Who was the black preacher out in California? B.B. King. Was it King? What? Not B.B. E.V. Hill, B.B. King, the blues player. Lucille, I remember the name of his guitar. E.V. Hill. E.V. Hill's daughter tells her daddy, said, "I got a date tonight, daddy." He said, "Well, honey, that's good." He said he saw the boy's car pull up and he come to the door. He said, "I walked to the door," and said, there he stood, and said, I looked at him and said, "Who are you?" He said, "I'm here to pick up and give the girl's name." And E.V. said, I said, "No, you're not," and slammed the door. His daughter comes down the stairs screaming and crying, "Daddy, that was my date. Oh, he'll never speak to me again." He said, "Good." He said, "Honey, you can't get racehorses out of mules." That's a great, that is so true. Can't get racehorses out of mules. He said, "She's thanked me, I can't tell you how many times over the years. Thank you, Daddy, for what you've done." From such, turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women, laden with sins, led away with divers lusts. Now you got to understand the time, as Brother Gordon taught us this morning. You got to understand the time and the customs of this particular age. And the women were treated as lesser citizens. It's just how they were. I mean, I'm not, that was wrong, but that's how it was. And so when they're saying that, that applies to this particular place in Scripture, lead silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts. For of this sort, what? The ones we just mentioned. They're after them. I'm going to tell you, there's people out there, and they're probably better at it in the cities, but they can spot a mark a mile away, you'll be in a mess before you know it. They're very good at what they do. That's how they coax these young girls into these houses where they just use them up, and they buy them something right off the bat, give them a gift. They're led away. What? For of this sort. And they creep into the houses. ever learning, never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. I think that would apply to some of our educational institutions in this land, and a majority of them at that. They can work a math problem as long as my leg, but they don't have a clue how to get to heaven. They're going to die and go to hell because they think it's something because they can work that math problem. You know who I think of? Give me you're a stone. I'll take him. I'll be on his side. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, this is something from Exodus. I mean, surely the Holy Ghost whispered this to Paul. Withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Who? This list we just read about. Men of corrupt minds reprobate concerning the faith. That means rejected, done, denied, won't receive. There'll be no conviction. They'll not seek the Lord while he may be found. They won't ever find him. Now, this is the one place that I agree with MacArthur and those brilliant men that speak of limited atonement, which I totally disagree with. But this bunch here, they just limited their atonement. They're out. They find themselves in that place. They won't be saved. They're done. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. You can see it. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience. So he's telling Timothy, you've watched me. You've watched me, Timothy. You know what? Somebody's watching you. You don't think so. Somebody's watching you. If it's no one else but your children or your grandchildren, somebody's watching you. Paul said, hey, you know me. You know my doctrine. What is that? The word of God. The things he's taught. My manner of life. Purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, and patience. I don't know which one of the men is praying here. Whether it was Marcus or Randall or who, but they thank the Lord for letting us be in church tonight. And I got up and seen them three little girls right there. Lord, help. That'll help you. That'll help you right there. You know what he's saying? Hey, honey, you know my life. You know my doctrine, my manner of life. You know my purpose. You know my faith. You know my long-suffering, and I love you. You know my charity and my patience. You know it. Timothy, you know this about me. Persecutions, now I want you to get a hold of this right here. Let this bite you like a bulldog. Persecutions, afflictions which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, and Lystra. I just learned that. Well, I should have already known it, but I'd never seen it before. That's the places that Paul went on all three journeys. So he went to Antioch three times, Iconium three times, and Lystra. And what happened to Paul at Lystra? Stoned to death. I believe they killed him. Brother Junior and I just talked about this morning. We both believe the same thing, that Paul was dead there, because if you do the time frame on that and go into 1 Corinthians where he said, I knew a man about 14 years ago, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. And then he refers to himself, you know, it's him. And 14 years ago puts him at Lystra. And that's when they stoned him, drug him outside the town. And what did he do? When God raised him up, went right back in. I think I left. Maybe Paul saying, can't kill me. But there it is. Here's what he's telling him. What persecutions I endured at these places. And he kept going back. Does that say something to us? Somebody hurt our feelings? Done. 7 times 70. Huh? In a day. Hurt me 3 times, I'll kick you to the curb. I won't ever talk to you again. Done. Here's what you know, Timothy. I endured, but out of all of them, the Lord delivered me. Out of every one of them, the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all, now here's the verse we quote often, you've heard it over and over. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus, what? Shall suffer persecution. Now I'm going to go out on a limb here and cut it off, but I'm thinking, if there's not a little bit of persecution coming our way, maybe we need a spiritual checkup. What is it in? But evil men, I wore this out this morning, and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. And by the way, I saw Cal Ray preach this evening, for better, for worse. I hadn't heard that before I preached this morning's message, and it went in the same train of thought. Now watch this right here. But continue thou. That's everybody in the room. If I ask you to think right now, somebody that you know that's quit along the way, that right now you couldn't find them, the FBI couldn't locate them. You could think of one that was faithful to church and they're gone. Most everybody in this building could think at least one. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. That needs no explanation. I mean, that's simplistic. And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. Let me tell you a blessing. It's from a child when someone cared enough about you to share the Scripture. I mean, I don't have any problem with three blind mice and a few of those little sayings, but it's sharing the Scripture with these, and I mean sharing it when they're young and they're little. And I'm telling you the difference is if we do a survey around this room, and I'm being cautious. And I'm erring on the side of caution. I'd say at least 75% of us in this room had somebody sharing it with us when we was little, and maybe more than that. Don't forget that, Timothy. From a child, from a little boy, that's known the Holy Scriptures. If Paul's been at this 40 years, somewhere about 30 plus, 33, this is 66 AD, somewhere in that frame. So Paul's saved, his conversion's not far after the ascension of Christ. Say Paul's been in it 30 years right here. And Timothy, Jews recognized him. Young fella as a man at 30 years old, they recognize. So Timothy's probably at least that. And when you get 60, you'll look on 30 and think, man, that was young. 30 years is a big, that's quite the divide there. But you've known them since you was a child, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Now, I read something this afternoon that said, well, he was saved here. That's right. And I'm going to borrow something from McGee. I really like this. He said at this point, Timothy had been saved. Timothy was being saved. And Timothy shall be saved. And I like that. I think that's exactly right. It's made you wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture. Did anybody see the debate with Dr. Jeffries from First Baptist Church in Dallas and the so-called ordained homosexual? It's a couple years ago. Did you see that, Marcus? Did you see that at, when he's shooting back and forth? And this guy was trying to compare the race of people, like blacks, Hispanic, American Indian, or Native American, whichever, Caucasian, us white guys. And he was trying to compare that to choice. He said it's like being born black. Dr. Jeffrey said, I thought this guy's an imbecile. You battling. You talking to the wrong guy here. Dr. Jeffrey said, that wasn't a choice. His mom and daddy made that choice. You're born that way. But what you do after you're born, everything's a choice. He said, where do you get that? He said, out of the scripture. And all scripture is given by inspiration of God. Some say that book's written by men. I said, amen, it was. As they were moved by the Holy Ghost. If you ever do a study on how the King James Bible was put together, when they took them guys, spread them out, and they had to be, they couldn't be a jot or tittle difference, or they considered it inaccurate, and they spread all these translators out, and they brought the Old Testament in there together, and they began to read it, and it read word for word. I'm telling you, that's a miracle. And here's what the scripture does. First, it's given by inspiration of God, and it is profitable for doctrine. Someone said, don't preach doctrine. Well, then you can't preach the Bible. The Bible is the doctrine. It's what we teach. It is doctrine. It is how we learn. It is the basis, the foundation. It's what we're built on. It's what we grow in the grace and the knowledge of. So we have it for doctrine. We also have it for reproof. You know what we need occasionally, everyone in this room? We need to be reproved. I used to hate it when my mama would say this. Dad was on the road when I was a boy growing up. He got a stay-at-home job after the other kids come up behind me. But Mom would say this, so she was the disciplinarian in my life. And sometimes I didn't want to do something, she'd say no. Dean knew her well. And I'd say, well, why not? Isn't that the kid's next question? Because I said so. Where'd you get that idea? Now that book, when God reproves us, you know, he doesn't have to explain why. It's because he said so. For correction, for instruction in righteousness. We need correction. How do we know? How do we find that? In the scripture. Instruction in righteousness. I don't know how to be righteous apart from the word of God. Most of us men in this room do not like instructions. We buy something and it's got 25 parts to it. First thing we do is toss the instructions away, start laying the pieces out and looking at them. This goes here and that goes there. Wind up five or six things extra and think, huh, spare parts. Pat'll say, did you read the instructions? I'll tell her, Jason, you know I didn't read them. Why would I do that? Because you would not take it back apart if you'd read the instruction. You knew that one part went in over here and you put it on this side. Kind of like it better over there. I think I'll leave it there. It's kind of funny, preacher. How am I going to know what to do if I don't read the instructions? I don't know how to be right. Everything about me is wrong. I'm left-handed. I don't have anything right. I'm in my right mind, though, praise God. But that's everything else is wrong. This book's right. And here's why. Here's why. That the man of God may be perfect. Does that mean we're flawless? No. Do not misunderstand that. Does not mean we're flawless. It means that we can be grown, fully mature, in the Word of God. Thoroughly, truly furnished unto all good works. So there we go. Here's the group. Don't just stay away from them, Timothy. Don't get involved with them. It's amazing how easily you can be influenced and you don't even know that you are. You don't even know that you're being influenced, and it's a word here and a thing there, and 99.9% of the time it's with somebody within that list that's trying to steer us in the wrong direction. The devil has a lot of helpers. Here's the way to measure it, and I'm going to be done. Brandon, you can come to the piano, for I'll still quit talking. Here's the way to measure it. So they're camouflaged, and you don't think that they'd fall into this list. You're not sure they would. You don't even know. But now some, it's blatantly obvious that they're part of that list. And Paul telling Timothy, don't have nothing to do with them. It's going to cause you trouble if you do. But if they're camouflaged well enough, the devil's good. He's an imitator, you know. So he's got it camouflaged and he don't say. But here's the thing. If the subtle suggestions start steering you contrary to this book, you better abandon ship and get back to the shore. I don't care how deep the water is. The Lord will help you get back to where you need to be. Or you're headed for a bad place. And well, I'm not saying God won't rescue you when you get there, but I'm telling you this, it'll save you a lot of trouble if you never get there to begin with. How do you know that? Instruction in righteousness. We stand to our feet and bow our heads. She plays something soft on the piano. Pastor Mike McCoy, thanking you for joining us at the Time of Truth.